Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, drama, and this hour, later on, the Radio City Playhouse from 1948, but first, an episode of the Gulf Screen Guild Theater called The Beachcomber by Somerset Maugham, and also featuring husband and wife Charles Lawton and Elsa Lanchester in a CBS broadcast from November 2nd, 1939.
Gulf Screen Guild Theater. The director of the Gulf Theater and your host, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everybody. Your neighborhood good Gulf Theater and the Gulf Oil Companies welcome you to the Gulf Theater. Once again, the lights on our marquee blaze with more of Hollywood's great names. Gene Herschel, Elsa Lanchester, Charles Lawton, Reginald Owen, and, as usual, Oscar Bradley and his Gulf Orchestra. We've been getting an extra kick out of our rehearsals this week. We've rehearsed most of the time at Idlewild, a mountain camp about 150 miles from Hollywood, where Charles Lawton is taking a well-earned rest after completing The Hunchback of Notre Dame for RKO. Everything is excitement here in the Gulf Theater tonight. You see, immediately after the show, we're leaving for New York to broadcast our next few shows from there. We're going so that we can bring you Helen Hayes, Frederick March, Robert Benchley, Fred Allen, Tallulah Bankhead, John Charles Thomas, and more of your favorite stars. Stars who are at present on the Broadway stage or busy in radio instead of out here in Hollywood making pictures. They want to appear in the Gulf Theater, too, because the Gulf Theater is the stars' own theater. You see, every single cent that Gulf would ordinarily give to the stars who appear here is given instead to help meet the needs of the Motion Picture Relief Fund and to build a home for the members of the motion picture industry who can no longer provide for themselves. But more about that next week. Now, it's time for lights. Music. Curtain. The scene of our play, The Beachcomber, is a small speck of a tropical island, and here we meet Ginger Ted, a dissolute beachcomber as personated by Charles Lawton. His friend, Greuter, the Dutch contrôleur of the island, is played by Gene Herschel. Ginger's enemies are two people who are devoting their lives to humanitarian service. Martha Jones, played by Elsa Lanchester, and her brother Owen, enacted by Reginald Owen. Our curtain rises on the courtroom. The contrôleur is the judge, and Ginger the prisoner. Miss Jones and brother Owen are his accusers.
Order into court. Order into court. Well, Mr. Wilson, what is it this time?
Oh, I wrecked the Chinaman's shop and bashed the sergeant right enough. But look at the provocation I had.
If he's referring to my sister...
Yes, that old clothesline ties me up in knots every time she comes anywhere near me.
Mein Herr Greuter,
I can defend myself.
Yeah. Mr. Wilson, you are the prisoner if you follow me. Now, Miss Jones.
Miss Dog in the manger.
Evil communications corrupt good manners.
No. I warned you, Wilson. Go on, Miss Jones.
I found the prisoner in a wine shop with one of my pupils. He was inciting her to be wicked.
Yeah, she hit me with an umbrella. Old hen scratching away at other people's business.
We are trying to help these people to find the truth. But how are we to guide them if this so-called white man mocks at us?
You sentimental suction pump. Taking all the fun out of life.
That man is a peril to women.
And you're a thorn in the flesh of man.
Mr. Greuter, I am not on trial here.
Are those noises in order, Mr. Greuter?
Whoa.
There he goes again. Order. Order, please.
Now, Miss Jones, in regards to Ginger, what would you suggest?
Deportation. I'm sorry, but it's necessary.
Perhaps you're right.
Deport me? Hey, I'll pay for the Chinaman's stuff I broke if you'll give me time.
You'll pay for the damage, all right. But it's me who'll give you the time. And that'll be 3 months.
Hey, for me?
At hard labor.
What did you say?
Under road gang.
Who? Me? Let me go.
Lardo. Order the court.
You must see the distress and port him, Mr. Greuter.
Pluck him out like an offending eye.
Oh, heaven knows. I promised myself often enough that I would deport him.
Oh, I knew you'd see the light.
Yeah, I've sent for Mr. Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I can't bear to be near that man.
Good day.
Come here, Ginger.
It does stick in my craw.
You giving way to that twitty twerp?
Ah, sit down. Do you?
Yeah. Don't mind if I do.
Close it.
Down the hatch. Have one of your own cigars.
Oh, thank you. Ginger, I don't know what to do with you.
Neither did anybody at home. I was a problem child.
Can't you control yourself? I've made practically a companion of you, and you're behaving like this. Oh, it hurts, Ginger.
Hey, I'll do that work on the road gang for you.
No, no, no.
Well, it's your duty to punish me.
Oh, but an Englishman and a native road gang.
Oh, I never thought of that. Well, couldn't you just put me in jail?
And have my government hem and haw at me for feeding you for 3 months?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. There it is.
What should we do?
There must be some. Ginger, I've got it. I shall send you to Acre Island.
That's no punishment.
It will be, Ginger. There's no alcohol on Acre.
Hey, what'd you say?
If your brother's down with malaria, Miss Jones, wouldn't it be better if I stayed for dinner somewhere?
No, no, no. You haven't been near us since the trial a fortnight ago. It isn't at all inconvenient, Mr. Greuter.
Who is it, Martha?
It's the controller, dear.
Oh, well, leave the door ajar, sister. Then I can chaperone you.
Yes, Owen. I've got a real English dinner for you tonight.
I'm your controller. Yes, when the dangerous assault for the governor here and Vex that the Kapala Aldar would and Signet Buik have done.
Well, what does he say?
The chief on Ego Island has a little appendix.
Appendicitis? It'll have to be operated on at once.
Well, since your brother's in bed with fever, I'm afraid the appendix will have to wait.
No, I shall go myself.
I know you're qualified, but you can't move an appendix, can you?
Oh, I've helped Owen scores of times.
Oh, of course,
an acute appendix is nothing to dawdle over.
I know.
The poor soul might die. I'll get the necessary things together straight away.
I'm thankful that woman is not a sister of mine.
The chief will now be well and strong, Nana Jones.
Yes, Sergeant. I may say the chief's operation was very successful. Oh, I've always liked Agar Island. I think I shall take a little walk while we're waiting for the launch. Nature's so, natural. Oh, please, Ginger. How can that be?
Go away.
Please, Portaila. Yes.
I smell of milk like a blasted baby.
Stop your row. I'll bet the controller's drinking his beer and laughing at me.
Ginger.
Shut up. Leave me alone, Tyler.
You don't like me.
Well, you do as a barmaid.
You think I am pretty?
Yeah, you're pretty.
Pretty as the girls where you come from?
Ah, a barmaid's eyes are blue, not black at home in England. And when it's cold, her cheeks are red as apples. You can fill your lungs with clean, bright coals in England, paint pictures with your frozen breath, and your boots make music in the snow in wintertime. At home in England.
That is nice. Even if I cannot understand it.
Shame on you!
Help!
No! It's not your job!
Help, it's the tea kettle.
Punishment, indeed. Lying in a hammock surrounded by native girls.
Ah, dry.
Don't you dare open your mouth to me, you unregenerate man. So this is the sort of punishment the controller sent you to. Get to your feet. Sergeant, take this man into custody. There you are, living in pagan idleness instead of reforming yourself by responsibility and trust. You've as much backbone as you have conscience. Well, you've had your chance to reform and lost it. Now you'll be really deported if I have to go to the government over the head of the controller. Aren't you listening to me?
No.
Oh!
Nana Jones, you must keep seated, please. The channel is very narrow here.
Sailing, sailing over the bounding main.
The lonely man is wild.
Hey, Sergeant, will you toss me up that jug?
There'll be no drinking while I'm on board.
Sergeant!
Did you hear me?
Madam, they can hear you in Honolulu.
Give me that jug.
I won't.
Give it to me.
Take your hands off
me. Give it to me, I say.
I'll give you something.
Therese, look out.
See, I told you to keep seated.
What happened?
You rocked the boat and the propeller hit the reef.
Now you're satisfied? You better try and make that island, Sergeant.
Sergeant, I order you to continue on our way home.
Shut up. If we can make that island, Sergeant, we'll put on the spare tire in the morning.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Does that mean that we shall have to stay here all night?
Yeah, you got it.
You must realize I can't spend the night on an uninhabited island with two men.
Do I have to draw a diagram of it for you?
No, it's quite impossible. I said it's quite impossible.
I'll wade ashore and carry you. You'll get a bit wet, but when we get there, you can take off your skirt and dry out.
Mr. Wilson, you must have a mother or a sister, perhaps.
Come here!
Please let me go.
Oh, stop yowling and save your breath.
Sailing, sailing over the mountain range away.
It's evening of the next day. The repaired launch has returned from the desert island with Ginger and Miss Jones. Ginger is having dinner with the controller.
Soaked you up blue in the face, Ginger. But I don't believe you.
It was awful on Agor Island.
Ah, you are a liar.
Have you ever lived for 3 months on coconut milk?
Well, no.
Who's that?
Sounds like that blasted brother of Miss Jones.
Well, oh, there you are.
Yeah.
You must excuse me for dashing in. But when I heard Wilson was here, I simply had to come.
Wilson, thank you. Thank you, Wilson. You've done a great and noble thing, Wilson.
I beg your pardon?
My sister Martha was right. There is so much good even in the worst of us. I misjudged you, Wilson, and I beg your forgiveness. You had my sister at his mercy on that lonely, uninhabited island. You see him now in his true colors at last. Don't be controller.
What?
My God, death and card, you, Mr. Wilson. You must excuse me for dashing away so quickly, but my sister's not quite herself. Edward. I recall you, Edward. Thank you again, and good night, Edward. Good night, Consular.
Did he call me Edward? What did that jack in the box mean?
He was thanking you, Ginger, because when you had your sister on your paw...
What did I do?
You were spick as her virtue and didn't force your attention.
Hey,
do you mean me? And her?
It's an insult. You take it back.
Oh, all this time it must have been.
It must have been what?
It must have been love.
Why?
I didn't mean to hit him so hard. I'd better get to it. I'll stay stewed for a week.
Oh, yeah.
What are you up to? Your medicine, Mitty, get out of my house.
House? It's more like a pigsty.
Oh, shut up, Nell. What are those you got?
Clothes. My brother thought you might not be offended if we lent you something so that you could come and dine with us.
Oh, he did, today. Well, I bet you put him up to it.
Mr. Wilson, my brother and I count ourselves your friends, and we consider that you need help, and help you will be whether you like it or not. Now, let's have no more nonsense. Wash and shave yourself, and put on those clothes and come to our house for dinner.
I'm afraid he isn't coming, Martha.
It's only 8.
You're still a bit stale.
I'll thank you not to keep talking about it, Owen.
Martha.
Oh, I'm sorry. There he is now. I'll go.
Oh, Miss Jones.
Oh, Mr. Brother.
Come in.
I'm sorry to disturb you at this hour, but...
Something wrong?
Yes. You're needed on Monosondo Island. Typhoid. Epidemic proportions, I'm afraid.
Oh. I'll start at once.
I'll pack for you, Owen. Excuse me, Mr. Gator.
Of course.
It's fortunate I have plenty of serum.
Yes, watch out for trouble when you go to inoculate. They're savages. And if they're aroused by you...
I appreciated the difficulties when I chose my life's work.
Ginger! Here are your clothes, Jones.
What do you mean?
Maybe they'll fit the next dummy that comes around here.
Ginger, get out.
Do you hear me? Get out.
I'm getting out, all right, on tomorrow's boat. You think I want to be made a laughing stock of? Who's making you one?
That sister of yours.
She's got me developing a case of nerves.
Well, at this moment, there's nothing of less importance than your nerves.
Now, why? What's up?
Typhoid. Wanasambo Island. Extremely serious.
Oh, so long, Consular. I shall miss your company, but you can't have everything, and what I want now is peace.
Peace comes from within.
You put a sock in that. I was brought up on that stuff.
Wilson, the Jones has always tried to help you.
Well, it was his duty, wasn't it?
To a fellow man, a fellow Englishman in distress. No more. Now, we have a duty for you.
I've served my time.
You're one of us here, and you're needed.
What, me? Leap into an epidemic?
Now, you see here, Wilson. These natives will have to be forced to cooperate. I could do with a man there.
Me?
Yes.
Yak Barney.
No, he'd rather stay soused to the ears.
No, I don't think so. After all, Wilson, you are a man, aren't you? Well, what about it? Okay. Thank you. Look out.
Oh, Miss Jones. Owen fainted.
Owen, what is it?
All right, I'll get him.
Owen.
Oh, it's a relapse.
Carry him into the bedroom.
Give me a hand, Contralone.
Surely. Well, this ends the expedition to Wanasambo.
No. No, I'll go. I'll go in my brother's place.
That lets me out.
What does he mean?
Well, Ginger has agreed to go with Mr. Jones. Of course, if you're going in your brother's place, well then...
With her?
No.
Mr. Wilson! Mr. Wilson, you're not drunk now?
No.
And you won't come?
With you? No.
After all, there's no reason why you should come. It is my job. I can go alone.
Well, Mr. Garter. Yes, Mr. Garter. Look at that one. I'd better go.
He's gone, Mr. Jones. I didn't think it was in him.
Poor Edward. I doubt whether after that night on the island, Edward has a chance. A woman's scorned is a vessel of wrath, and my sister is a very determined woman.
I believe I know how Miss Nightingale felt when she landed in the Crimea. Inspired. I shall begin the inoculations at once, Mr. Wilson.
Leave them alone for tonight. They're in a panic. There's half the village dying in its tracks. You stay inside your hut where you'll be safe. Till I say you can take the air.
Why?
Well, because you need to be taken care of.
But I'm not afraid.
Look here now, you hit the hay.
Huh? What?
It's an American expression. It means to go to bed.
It is expressive, isn't it?
Yeah. Good night. One more peep out of you, my girl, and I'll spank you. So you can't sit down.
Oh. La, 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 la.
What's the matter with that kid? Is it typhoid?
It may be. It's difficult to make the rose rash diagnosis on such dark skin.
What are you going to do?
Inject serum.
Okay, but mightn't that stop?
Will you wash your hands, please?
Yes, but she's the headman's daughter. Listen. You see, they're getting restless already. If she should die after a shot of that, it'd be us who'd killed her. It'd be sticky for us, you know.
Will you wash your hands, please?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, it's all right, baby. Of course it hurts. I had a tooth out once and I yelled so hard it rang the church bells a mile away.
She doesn't understand English.
Oh, it's never the words. It's the way you say them.
You have such a gift for language, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you. Hey, it sounds as if it's going to rain. I'll cool them down a bit. I don't think they'll attack when it's raining. Think I'll go out and see what's going on, though.
Wilson, you're wet through. You've been standing out there in the rain for hours. Do come in and have a cup of tea.
Cup of tea?
Yes, I've just made tea. Come in.
Well, thank you.
I'm afraid I can't offer you milk.
Never was much of a one for milk in my tea. I say, how is the kid getting on?
No change yet. You take sugar?
Thank you.
No. Can you feel what, Mr. Wilson?
You know, it's sort of swank sitting down to tea in this godforsaken spot.
Well, it's not godforsaken now, Mr. Wilson. There. I hope you like this.
Yeah, you look fine.
Oh, you mean this old thing I'm wearing? I meant the tea.
Yeah. Do you mind if I smoke?
No. Edward?
Thank you, Martha. Look here, would you mind if I told you something?
No.
But before it's too late, I'd like to tell you why I carried such a chip on my shoulder about.
What's that?
It's a spear. Get back from the window, will you? Oh, they're like a lot of kids. When I was a kid, I used to march around the house yelling and walloping a drum.
I'm sorry I got you into this.
Blasted woman's place is in the home. I say, are you laughing at me?
No, I never have, Edward.
You haven't? I don't really mind, you know, I'm used to it. I was the fat boy's schooler. They used to call me Jack Spratt.
Jack Spratt could eat no fat. His wife could eat no... Oh, I mean, of course, I didn't mean...
Oh, that's all right. We'll keep the platter clean anyway.
One does have to think of expenses, I suppose.
Let me tell you that argument that two can live as cheaply as one is so much twaddle.
Oh, I'm not prepared to admit that. It's simply a question of household management.
Yeah, with a manager getting all the salary.
Does that mean you've been married?
What, me married?
What's the matter with it?
You've only got to look at the papers.
Look, her fingers are broken.
Hey, are you sure?
Yes, see, look, she's smiling.
Hey! Hey, Chief! Your kid's gonna get better! Hey, Chief!
Oh, hello. Where do you come from in England?
Kent.
I come from Bucks. You know, I'd like to tell you something I started to tell you once before this evening. It's the reason I carried such a chip on my shoulder about your preaching. Hey, will you give me a hand? You see, at home, in England, I wanted to marry the local barmaid and become the landlord of the Fox and Rabbit Inn. My father and I had quite a scene, you see. My father was the vicar of Little Hazard, Bucks.
Oh, my father drank himself to death.
I say, look at the baby. Pretty, isn't she? Look, she wants to grab my finger.
Children know, Edward. They always can sense a family man.
Thank you, Charles Lawton, Elsa Lancaster, Jean Herschel, and Reginald Owen for a swell performance. Incidentally, Tallulah Bankhead, along with Fred Allen, Robert Benchley, and John Charles Thomas, will appear in the Gulf Theater next week from New York. And here's a question for Charles Lawton, who can now be seen in Paramount's Jamaica Inn. Tell me, Charles, can you tell me if Jeanette MacDonald has a sister in pictures?
I don't know. She might or she mightn't.
Well, that's quite true, but I'm afraid it's not quite right. No, Charles, I'll have to give you the forfeit. Jeanette MacDonald has a sister in pictures, and her name is Marie Blake. And for your forfeit, you will imitate a duck... eating weed.
That's not fair. I've never shot at it anyway.
It should be fun.
Best I could do.
Thank you, Charles Lawton. Ladies and gentlemen, before we say goodnight, we want to extend you an invitation to tune in next week when we bring you from New York such stars as Fred Allen, Bob Benchley, Tallulah Bankhead, John Charles Thomas, and, of course, Oscar Bradley and his Gulf Orchestra. Listen in, won't you? And now to you listeners, I'd like to say, gee, but you're swell. And for your good Gulf dealer, I'd like to tell you what a real big thrill it gives us to know it's folks like you who listen to us. Honestly, gee, but you're swell. Well, be with us again next week, won't you? Good. Until then, this is Roger Pryor saying good night, everybody. This is John Conte saying good night for your neighborhood good Gulf dealer.
Reginald Owen's latest MGM picture is The Earl of Chicago. The Gulfstream Guild Theater originates in Earl Carroll's Columbia Square, Hollywood. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater, on Tuned 2 yesterday, from November 2nd, 1939 on CBS. The story The Beachcomber, based on the novel by Somerset Maugham, was turned into a motion picture and released on Christmas Day in 1938 with the stars we just heard in the radio broadcast, Charles Laughton and Elsa Lanchester. This is an hour of drama on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Radio City Playhouse with the story Whistle, Daughter, Whistle, an NBC episode from the 31st of July, 1948.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 4. Tonight, from the deft and versatile pen of Mr. Ernest Kenoy, a writer for whom our admiration grows with every passing week, we present Whistle, Daughter, Whistle. Both Mr. Kenoy and our fine director friend, Mr. Duncan, have been giggling through most of the afternoon's rehearsal. It is their sincere hope, and ours too, that you will giggle for the rest of the evening. In any case, garbed in calico and armed with a broom, Radio City Playhouse presents Attraction 4, Whistle, Daughter, Whistle. Every Sunday morning, the New York Times brings you four or five pages of sweet, smiling pictures with little stories underneath. Ethel Glasgow, wed, or Sue Potter, plans, or Miss De La Vise, betrothed, and sometimes just Jones-Smith. Well, usually, the pretty brides end up wrapped around salami sandwiches or spread out on the kitchen floor as the weekly wash drips water down their newsprint décolletés. But in Peggy Mark's house, the Sunday society pages last well into the week. Peggy's mother saves them carefully. Every night, she spreads them out on the dining room table after supper. Mrs. Mark loves wedding.
Did you see this one, Peggy? Peggy.
Huh?
I'm talking to you.
No?
Did you read this one? Southampton. Mr. and Mrs. Ellis Ted Allen.
Ma.
Of New York, Southampton, and Miami. Announced engagement.
Ma, for crying out loud.
Graduate of the Spence School and Mount Holyoke.
Isn't that interesting?
Fascinating. Does it say what she got in freshman English?
I don't see it. Maybe further down.
Never mind, Ma.
It says here she rides horses.
I'll bet. Ma, you got the tact of a brewery truck.
Did you ever notice? Always the rich girls get the rich boys.
It's fun to scream.
What's the matter with you tonight, Peggy? You don't feel well.
Why don't you lay off?
What's the matter all of a sudden? I'm just reading the newspaper, that's all.
Always the wedding announcement. Do you ever read movie reviews to me? Or maybe the sports section?
How coincidence.
Yeah, yeah.
They all look so happy in the picture.
Why don't you quit needling?
Needling? Who's needling?
A mother has a right to worry. The clock don't run backwards. All right, so I'm practically brittle with age. I look like Lost Horizon. Ma, I'm only 26. What's the rush? There are a couple of guys I like and a couple of them like me. I'll get around to it.
It should only be soon.
Oh, there you go again. Ma, I put in a hard day down at the office. From 9 to 5, I look into wide open mouths while the doctor fills the teeth. Give me a rest when I get home, will you?
See? That's what I mean. If you had a nice husband, you wouldn't have to work so hard.
I should have known I can't win.
You know, they say our dentist makes a pretty good living.
Hold it. Stop right there. Dr. Prentice is 45. He's got a wife, 3 children, and flat feet. And on top of that, I don't think he likes me particularly.
I didn't mean that dentist. I meant the other dentist.
What other dentist?
The boy upstairs. He's just getting out of school this month. I met his mother over the washing machine in the basement. She has crouton curtains.
Sort of crummy, huh?
What?
It's crouton, Ma, crouton. A crouton is bread.
Crouton, crouton. It covers the windows. Where was I?
I won't talk.
Oh, yeah, the other dentist. He's a nice boy. I met him in the elevator.
Is that the curly-headed one that gets out of the 5th floor?
5B, you noticed him.
Ma, cut it out. I can smell a plot a mile away.
I wouldn't say I would.
Okay, then that's settled. Okay, Ma, I give up.
What do you mean?
Come on, get your coat. We'll go to a movie, then have a soda. It's a murder picture with Humphrey Bogart by Lowy. There's a corpse every 2 minutes. That ought to get your mind off orange blossoms.
Hello,
washing again.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Kellett.
I didn't intend to having a washing machine in the basement. You remember the old days?
Do I? Don't talk. Uh-huh. I still got a backache. There. It's done. I'll be out in a minute.
Don't hurry, Mrs. Ma. Rest yourself a while. That's what my boy always says. Ma, rest yourself.
Your son is in college.
He graduates dental school next month.
No, isn't that nice? It's so nice to have a doctor in the family. I was telling my daughter Peggy, it's so nice to have a doctor in the family.
A dentist.
The same thing. You know, it's a real coincidence.
You got a dentist?
No, Peggy works for one.
Well, what do you know?
Dr. Prentice downtown. But he's married.
What?
I mean, she isn't happy working where she is.
Oh.
My Peggy likes her position with a dentist.
You know, Mrs. Marks, my boy Ellen gets out of school next month and I... No.
What, Mrs. Kellett, why?
No, not silly.
I haven't sex say it.
Wouldn't it be interesting if...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's going to start practicing right after.
Uh-huh.
And he'll need a nurse in his office.
Oh. Now I see what you mean.
It would be real convenient.
It certainly would, maybe more.
Why not, Mrs. Marks? Why not? Your Peggy is a fine, sensible girl.
She certainly is, Mrs. Kellett. I shouldn't say it about my nun, but if she was a perfect stranger, I couldn't say no different.
Totally fair.
And independent, too. Honestly, the way some mothers would strangle a girl with apron strings. A shame.
I always say live, so you should let somebody else live, too.
Ah, that's so true, Mrs. Kelly.
Wait, Mrs. Marks, I just thought of something.
Yes.
My aunt said something about a dance for graduation.
So?
You know, it isn't that he hasn't always got a lot of girls chasing after him. A dentist is quite a catch.
Of course, naturally.
But I'm sure he'd just love to take your Peggy.
Well, you know, Mrs. Kellett, my Peggy's a very popular girl. She could have 3-4 professional men, just like that.
Naturally, Mrs. Marks, of course. But maybe she would just happen to have a free evening.
It wouldn't be so easy, Mrs. Kellett. Like I said, my Peggy's awful independent.
I'm not telling you no secrets, Mrs. Marks. My Ellen is like a mule.
When is the graduation, then?
Next month.
A month. Well, that gives us plenty of time, don't it, Mrs. Kellett?
It certainly does, Mrs. Marks.
Ow!
So stand still. Ooh. You've underdressed should fit or not?
Fit? Ma, you're sewing me in so tight I'll have to dance sideways.
I want you should look your best. After all, you don't go to a graduation dance every night.
If I could help it, I wouldn't go at all.
Peggy?
I just want you to know that you're not getting away with anything.
What are you talking about? Live down tight.
Well, I knew what you were doing. You've been laying a trap for me for a month.
You should shame
all yourself. All of a sudden. Peggy, why don't you get a new dress?
Stand still.
Peggy, why don't you get your hair done?
Don't you want to look nice?
Sure, you got me like a fly in a spider web, like a rat in a trap.
You could have said no.
After you told him on the phone I was dying to go?
That's what you said.
Ma, you know darn well that I said I'd die before I went.
It's the same thing. Besides, you were in the shower. I couldn't hear.
All right, Ma, all right. You got me strapped into this banana peel you call a dress. You got me roped into this collegiate bra.
Put down the hand.
But I'm not going to like
all it. All right, don't like it. Breathe in.
If you zip that up the back, I'll never breathe out.
Don't be silly. There. Ha!
You look so pretty.
Like a Cinderella.
At midnight, I'll turn into a second molar. Well, where's young Dr. Kildare?
He'll be here. He anxious.
Might as well get it over with now, like an extraction. What did you say the young hopeful's name is?
Ellen Kellett. Dr. Ellen Kellett.
Right on cue. Ma, you look like a cat that's been eating canary pie.
Go on, there he is. Don't keep him waiting.
Well, you answer it, Ma. I've got to put my face on.
Honestly.
And Ma.
So?
I'll dance with Heaven's Gift to the American Bicuspid. But that's all. Understand? That's all.
Go already. All right, all right. Come in, come in.
Mrs. Mark, I came for Peggy.
Come in, come in. Sit down a while. She's inside with the face.
A regular full dress, gentlemen.
Now, between you and me, I rented it.
It fits like a glove.
Yeah, too bad it's a suit, huh?
So, sit down. Oh.
What's the matter?
You're squashing your tail.
Oh. Thanks.
So, have a piece of fruit, maybe a tangerine?
No, thanks. I just had supper.
I know, red cabbage. You could smell it all over the house.
Ma makes it sweet and sour.
The best way.
She uses vinegar for sour.
Lemon.
Well, lemon is good, too. My mama used to say... Oh, Peggy, this is Dr. Kellett. Dr. Kellett, this is my Peggy. Now go. Go have a real good time.
Well?
Huh?
I said well.
Well, what?
I don't know, just well.
Oh. Peggy? You want to dance?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Something wrong?
You're standing on my dress.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't mention it.
I said I was sorry.
Okay. Let's dance.
Suits me.
Oh!
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, it's crowded here. Maybe we should have come earlier.
I don't know. Looks like a long evening the way it is. I'll tell you tomorrow, Ma.
Tomorrow? All night I didn't close my eyes. Come in here.
Look, I'm tired.
All night I didn't slip a wink, not a pussy nap.
All right, Ma.
Turn on the light.
Wait till I get my coat off. Now, what is it?
Now, sit down on the bed.
Oh, my feet.
You dance?
I dance.
A record or a real band?
5 pieces. All you could hear was the drum.
Ah. A real fine affair. Did you go in a taxi?
Yep. Young Dr. Kellett flinched every time the meter jumped.
How did you like him?
In detail or a rough sketch?
Honestly, Peggy, sometimes I get so aggravated.
You get aggravated.
Peggy, before I bust, just tell me. I wouldn't ask anymore.
Well?
Did you have a good time?
No.
Well, let me put it this
way. I don't care which way you put it.
He's a nice boy.
I warned you before I went, Ma. Why can't you grow up? It's not your business to pick out a husband for me. This isn't the Middle Ages.
My mama fixed it so I should meet your papa. Rest his soul. You're better than me.
Oh, that isn't it, and you know it.
What more would you want? That Helen is a nice boy.
Ma.
Even good looking. So what glasses? And a doctor, they look distinguished.
I'm not going to sit up all night to listen to this.
Who's keeping you? Only such a boy you should get.
Look, Ma, my feet hurt. The zipper's jammed on my dress. I got to get up early tomorrow, and I'm sick and tired of your nagging all the time. Peggy, get married. So quit.
What did I say?
Oh, no.
I keep quiet all the time like a clam. I keep still.
I'll never learn.
To my grave, I'll go without a word. No one should know my daughter talks like a knife in my heart.
Please, Ma.
A dentist isn't good enough. You want a millionaire, maybe.
I'll let you know in the morning. Good night, Ma.
Peggy.
What now?
You're sure maybe you didn't like him just a little bit?
Hello, Mrs. Marks. You've been shopping.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Kellett. I just wheeled the wagon all the way from Broadway.
You shop by your supermarket?
Since I got the grocery wagon. Such an invention. It's almost a pleasure.
Such a big load. Mrs. Marks, mocha mousse.
I didn't even know what it is, honest. In the supermarket, I just can't keep my hands off the shelf.
With me the same. If it's self-service, I buy like I'm moving to a desert island.
You're waiting for somebody?
Yeah, just standing. It's so nice out. In my apartment, we get some 10 minutes between 5 and 5:30. It's a novelty.
We got a sudden explosion in the living room.
You're lucky?
Lucky. Hey, listen, Mrs. Kellett. In the summer, it's so hot, you could fry an egg on the carpet.
You can't have your cake with frosting, too, I always say.
You're right.
Like, for example, Mrs. Winter.
You heard?
If I heard, it isn't enough how the son and daughter-in-law have to live with her, but that woman wouldn't even let them go by the movies alone.
I saw. Always the mama could drive a couple crazy.
Such interference. And it's some people.
It shouldn't be you and me, Mrs.
Kellett. Such an idea.
I know, it's foolish.
Pardon me, Mrs. Marks, but...
What is it, Mrs. Kellett?
Well, I suppose I shouldn't ask.
Thank you.
your Peggy, she had a good time last night.
A good time?
Oh, Mrs. Skellett.
Did she?
She woke me up when she came in. Honest, I thought she was crazy. She had such a good time. She was laughing and singing like it was her first party.
Honest? Look, I shouldn't tell you. I promised it across my heart I wouldn't tell you.
Mrs. Marks, we're old friends. You wouldn't tell me.
Did I say I wouldn't?
So, what was?
My Peggy told me.
Uh-huh.
We shouldn't breathe our words.
Like a tomb.
She said, I can't.
Honestly, Mrs. Marks, said she.
She never met a boy like your Ellen before.
She did.
Well, not in so many ways.
That's very interesting, Mrs. Marks. Very interesting.
And your Ellen, how did he like the dance?
Well,
he told you.
My Ellen tells me everything.
Of course, of course.
Naturally, a boy like Ellen is very careful. So many girls keep throwing themselves at a professional man. I don't mean your Peggy, Mrs. Marks.
No offense, Mrs. Keller.
So where was I?
About Ellen.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe it's a little soon, but I wouldn't be surprised.
No.
Why not? But Mrs. Marks, I got to go upstairs.
Is the elevator fixed?
Was out again.
I had to walk downstairs. Honestly, I never feel safe since they put in that automatic elevator.
I get cold shivers every time that door closes. It's like a coffin standing up.
Mark my words, Mrs. Kellett. Somebody, someday is going to get caught in that elevator.
It shouldn't only be us, Mrs. Marks. Knock on wood.
Oh, it's you. Let me take your parcel.
Thanks. Five?
Right.
Five
and six. Nice out.
It'll do.
What's the matter now?
Stuck.
No.
Well, that won't help.
What do you do?
You might push the emergency button. The red one.
Oh. Yeah. Now what?
We wait till Mr. Hector comes back from his pinochle game and gets us out.
Hey, I can't stay in here. I'll be late for the clinic.
Well, those unfilled incisors will just have to wait.
Now, I can't figure you out.
You have to?
Here you go all around Robin Hood's barn trying to get me to take you to that dance, and then you keep needling me all the time.
Wait a minute. I tried to get you to take me?
My mother said that the very least thing I could do
was... Hold it. What's
the matter?
I begin to smell a maternal rat.
I don't get it.
Your mother told you I wanted a date.
She said it would be a blessing to take you.
Uh-huh. You should have heard my mother. He's such a shy boy. Do a good deed for once.
Me? Shy?
Like a violet, she said.
Oh, I'll be doggone.
Yeah, make two of them.
Why?
Well, I don't know about you, but my mother will walk the earth like the ghost of Hamlet's father until I, get married.
Oh.
What's the matter? You're turning green.
Every time I go out with a girl, my mother wants to know her family tree down to the roots.
Alan, my boy, I feel the hounds closing in.
That's why you were sore the other night.
After the dancing, I had other reasons.
Yeah, I'm pretty bum at it. Two left feet.
I've seen worse.
You know, I was kind of mad myself. Last time, my mother shanghaied me into one of those things. The girl outweighed me 50 pounds.
The last one I had palmed off on me turned out to be married. Claimed his wife didn't understand him.
Huh? What happened?
I walked home from Tremont Avenue.
How long do you figure we'll be stuck in here?
Depends on the meld.
What?
The meld. The score of Mr. Hector's pinochle game.
I'm going to sit on the floor. You care to join me, Peggy?
Well, okay. Read any good books lately? Never mind.
Okay. Funny, isn't it? After all that finagling to get us together, we end up stuck in the elevator.
My mother would call it real romantic.
Yeah. You know, it is at that.
Go ahead, bite your nose.
It's ridiculous.
What's ridiculous? You wait for a dentist now. You could wait for another
dentist. But I don't want
But nothing. Your Dr. Prentice is all the way downtown.
Oh, it's silly.
What's
silly.
The same money and only 4 blocks away.
Besides, he's such a nice boy.
That's what I mean.
Listen, I had enough. I'm up to here. You're stuck in the elevator for 2 hours. Finally, he asks you to work in his new office, and what happened?
I say no.
Ah, what did I do to deserve such a daughter?
I don't see what you're complaining about.
Please, Peggy, let's talk calm. Don't get excited.
Excited? Who's excited?
Look, the boy asks you should work in his office, right?
Yeah.
It's the same money and would save an hour every day from the subway.
I suppose.
So?
No.
Nah.
And you know why.
Why? There's a reason why. If I thought 100 years, I couldn't find a reason.
I could. Angled me into that graduation dance with Alan. You and Mrs. Callard. Now you're trying to haul me into that kid's office. I wouldn't be surprised if you pulled the plugs on that elevator.
Such a thing to say.
My, you're subtle like a bulldozer.
Oh, why?
Never mind. You don't fool me for a minute. I'll bet you've got the silver pattern all picked out.
Nah, you talk fool.
Maybe. Just remember, when I'm good and ready to get married, I'll pick myself out somebody. Then I'll let you know. Honestly, Ma, you act like this was China or something.
All right, all right. Forget I said anything. Go ahead. Go downtown every morning on the subway in the rush hour. Go ahead. Get yourself smashed in like a sardine. Come home with a black eye from somebody's elbow.
Oh, Ma, please.
All right, be a dope. I wouldn't say another word.
I'll take odds.
Why?
Never mind, Ma. Only remember, I'm not going to work in Alan's office. You understand? Never.
Sure, sure, never.
Okay. Now, what's for dinner?
Another piece of cake with your tea, Mrs. Kellett. It's right in the bread box.
Thanks. No, Mrs. Marks. I ate already, too.
Two? You had four, but have another.
I wouldn't dare. I'd bust right out of my dress.
I always see you. I use a saccharin tablet in the tea so I can take all the cake I want. It's good. It's from O'Brien.
I always used to bake my own cake.
Me, too. But O'Brien's is good.
My Ellen always asks, Ma, how come you don't bake no more?
When you got a man in the house, there's a reason to cook.
I don't know. My mister would be happy if I had only pot roast and potatoes. Maybe a chicken once in a while.
You got trouble. Every day my Peggy changes her diet. Monday she's eating cottage cheese, Tuesday it's walnuts, Wednesday maybe whole wheat toast.
It could drive our poison crazy cooking lunch.
Peggy comes home for lunch.
For 2 weeks now, since she's working for your Ellen.
Ellen doesn't even take off for lunch. She's working so hard.
Mrs. Kellett, I got a TL for you from mine, Peggy.
So tell me.
She says, your Ellen makes her better up a plate than anybody she ever saw.
Real pretty.
He's a good boy. He says your Peggy works real hard.
They look nice together, don't they, Mrs. Kellett?
They certainly do, Mrs. Marks.
So, Mrs. Kellett.
So?
What next?
Thank heaven, such a day I thought I'd never see.
Oh, take it easy, Ma.
Are you ready? Did you pack the new shoes?
Yes, Ma.
And the fancy hat?
Everything's all in. Stop fussing, will you?
Who's fussing? Let's see. Should be something borrowed and something with the bluing.
Blue, Ma. Blue. Bluing's for the laundry.
So what's wrong? For our wedding, you shouldn't be clean.
Oh, for heaven's sake, will you sit out a while?
Who can sit? A daughter only gets married once in a while.
This one nearly didn't. Honest, Ma. The only reason I turned Alan down 3 times was because I knew you were hovering around like a buzzard waiting for a carcass.
A buzzard? You called your own mother for shame.
I'm not kidding. When I saw that triumphal grin of yours, I came close to calling the whole thing off. Except, I guess I could have loved the guy.
Of course. I always knew my Peggy would pick out a good boy. Such a smart girl you were. I remember when you recited at the T.S. graduation.
Oh, cut it out, will you, Ma? You'll have time to cry later.
Her wedding. My David rest his soul should be here.
Yeah. I guess it would be nice.
I always say it's nice to have a doctor in the family.
A dentist.
Dentist, doctor. He wears a white coat.
So does a barber. Only remember, Ma, I'm marrying him in spite of you. Not because...
Naturally, naturally.
Just so you're marrying him someday. That's enough for me.
Well, congratulations, Ma. You've earned them.
Me?
Nobody else. Thank heaven that's the last of it. Ma, you can rest now.
A beautiful wedding, Mrs. Marks.
Lovely, Mrs. Kellett. Lovely.
And it's a blessing to see our boy should get a nice
smart girl like your Peggy.
A match, Mrs. Kellett, a match.
Your Ellen will go far.
Thank you.
It's a load off my mind. Confidentially, I can tell you now.
A secret?
Not that I'd be interfering with Peggy. Oh, never, I'm saying.
Neither me, Mrs. Marks. Always with Ellen, his own way.
But honest, Mrs. Kellett. Sometimes I thought my Peggy would end up an old maid. Such a stubborn girl. Stubborn, Mrs. Kellett.
You think maybe it was easy with mine, Ellen? Not interfering ever?
No, never.
But honestly, I'm not forgetting times I wanted to shake that fine dentist like a mop out the window.
All right, Mrs. Kellett. Yes. Don't I know? Well, it's done now. All over.
All over? All over?
Wait, Mrs. Kellett, wait. It's just beginning.
You have just heard Whistle, Daughter, Whistle, as written by Ernest Canoy and directed by Harry W. Junkin.
The Radio City Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from July 31st, 1948, bringing the curtain down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.